Hey, hello, and welcome back to another episode. I'm Matt.
And I'm Ez, and friends, we are back with a Stranger Things review. Stranger Things Season 4, Matt.
Well, Stranger Things Season 4, Part 1.
Yes, exactly. Review. Which I forget about, you know? It's like there's a whole other part coming out, which is...
We're getting like 3 more hours.
That's insane. Well, that's good, because... everybody is all over the place, and we need all of their plots to go forward a little bit more before we, you know, can let them go this summer.
As you know, every year, it seems like every season, we're like, there's no way they can top the last season.
I know.
And every season, they do.
They do. They do. They killed it. I absolutely loved the season. I just finished last night with the final episode, and all I was seeing was Vecna. All night long.
I know.
Jeez, all through my dreams, just terrifying. But great.
So there, yeah. So this can be just sort of a big takeaway. We're not necessarily going to go through every single episode, every single thing. But man, my God, you know, this was not at all how I was expecting this season to go. Like where we left in season 3. But man, they've just blown this world up bigger and bigger. And the world of the Upside Down. And I guess we're going to just dive into like things that just sort of like confused us, concerned us, you know, just to sort of do a very brief summary. You know, where we left season 3, the big takeaway was like Billy had died, right?
Yep.
Billy had died, Max's sort of like stepbrother. And then, you know, Jonathan and Nancy were a little on the outs. Hopper... the explosion, then somehow he ends up in Russia. We don't still exactly know how he gets stuck in Russia.
Well, we weren't sure if he lived or died there for a hot second until the trailer, right. You know, came out.
And then, you know, Eleven and Will and Jonathan, they all go to California. So the gang has been split up. So now we're in high school. There's a little bit of, you know, trouble going on. We introduced to a new character, Eddie, who's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm in love with Eddie so far. And, you know, big thing is we get a huge backstory on Hawkins Lab, some more of the numbers and stuff like that. And we begin to see, hey, at the end of this thing, number one was pretty powerful, pretty extreme.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And ultimately, this is, you know, total spoiler here. So this is going to be more of a recap for everyone who has watched it, is Vecna.
Yeah.
And how does he, you know, one of the things they don't explain, and they'll probably explain in the next thing, how does he become Vecna? What does the Upside Down do? And then one thing that that really caught my interest, why is the Upside Down stuck? Or why is it years behind if it's sort of this parallel universe?
Yeah, that is interesting.
That it's like it's stuck in 1983, I think, which would be season one.
Yep.
So was that when like the door was open and then time stopped there? Like that's really interesting. And they never went back and talked about it. I hope that they do.
Right.
But yeah. that was something I found really super interesting.
Yeah, so it's the vanishing of Will Byer, right? And that's the whole L opens the gate by pushing really essentially pushing
Vecna through.
Yeah, Vecna, you know, one through to another dimension. I mean, she's pushing.
Then he becomes Vecna over there.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we're pushing so hard that power creates this rip, and when it does, you go over there and like Nancy said. In her journal entry, you said 1983 or whatever it was,
which
right?
Is season one.
Season one, on the dot. So that is because she says, "Yeah, it was the night that Will vanished," and so we know that's the same night that, like, the creature, the Demogorgon, gets out and it captures Will. I like how they explained like that was a foot soldier, and then Vecna was more of your general, right? Type of
right
for the Mind Flayer. Like the Mind Flayer is still something that is. Taking and twisting people as they come in.
See, and this is where the timeline gets a little confusing for me because, okay. So we see in season one, L and maybe she's the only 11, right? Maybe she's the only one there at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe this takes place before she does what she does in this season, where we see the flashback where she pushes one through and he will ultimately, over the course of a few years or whatever, become Vecna. Remember in season one, she's in the saline pool. They're doing the experiments on her and she ends up seeing the Demogorgon.
Yeah.
And right. touches it. So I thought that was what ultimately was the catalyst for the hole getting punctured through.
Right.
So when does that take place? Because that can't be the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or yeah. is that after? Because Will doesn't go missing. Right.
Right. Right. Right. Yeah. No, you're right. So because the way I understood it is trippy to kind of follow. They're showing you new stuff at the Hawkins laboratory. But then all that time, every time that one kept saying, you know, he knows, Dr. Brenner knows that you're more powerful. I assumed that outside of those little conversations, the stuff we saw in season one was happening, where he was like doing all the experiments with
So that's going on while.
Yeah, while, because remember, everything ends, you know, so actually you're only seeing L with Dr. Brenner. You're not seeing the other children, but the other children, I think, are there in those flashbacks in season one, because the end, when L gets out, I mean, one has showed her how to escape. And once she pushes him through that wall into the upside down, everyone is dead. And then she takes off, and then that's the night that Will Byer disappears. And so she disappears that night. So everything has to happen before, right?
No, it has to happen after, because remember, then she's killed everyone, and then her and remember he goes and takes her hand, doesn't she? After she's killed everyone, he's like, "What have you done?" I thought that she still went back and they did more stuff on her. She didn't. Did she escape there?
Then that wouldn't make sense. Yeah, then that wouldn't make sense.
It's the scene. Well, okay. Maybe I'm getting something confused. She's at the lab, like currently out in the desert.
Yes.
And she does take his hand and walk back. Like, okay, remember she was going to try and escape. She uses her powers for a little bit. And she's like, okay, I'm going to go walk back and do that with him. But did they show her running away after she pushed one through? Because remember, Brenner comes in and is like, what have you done?
Yeah. Yeah, was that a part of the, because at the end, you know, when we finally see the real memory, it was like he had been knocked down, but maybe he does come back and continues on with the experiments. And that's just because that rip looks like the same rip where they'll just sort of,
it'll expand
build,
and grow.
Yeah, they'll start to build around that.
But remember, in season one, they go through like a tree. Remember, there's some sort of gate there. They go through like this tree to get in. And I thought maybe that's how the original Demogorgon got out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, because we see the Demogorgon, don't we? In the season one, doesn't he come through the lab and kill people and stuff? Early on, remember? Like I think in season one, like there's all that. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, maybe I'm misremembering stuff too. But like, this is how they've got us. They've got us all kind of,
because it's tripped out, right?
They've got us tripped out. Because it is important to kind of figure out like when it all takes place, like what the events are. Because they went back in time, they had to kind of like, you know, piece all this together. Let me see if I can find like a Stranger Things.
I know I'm looking at a Stranger Thing. Okay, I've got a Stranger Things timeline here. Okay,
all right, let's go.
Okay, because this is going to include stuff from the books. Remember, there's like books and stuff. I haven't touched any of that stuff yet.
Right.
So let's see. You know, remember the other one, and I don't think we saw her in any of the flashbacks. Who was? What's the number that we saw? Remember the season two, the second last episode, the one that everyone disliked, where she's like in Chicago and she meets with.
Yeah, she can change stuff. It was either 12. What was it?
Something like that, right?
There was 10, or it was either the number right before 11 or after.
Right.
I'll look her up here real quick. Yeah.
Yeah, because Will goes missing. He's in the hut, remember? Okay, so here's a timeline. So it says unknown dates. In 1983, Eleven is put in a sensory deprivation tank to watch a Russian spy in another location, and she encounters the monster. Sunday, November 6th is the day that Eleven goes on a mission to make contact with the monster, and a gate to the Upside Down unexpectedly opens in Hawkins' lab, allowing the monster to pass through. Eleven escapes from Hawkins' laboratory. Okay, so she must push Vecna through, one right. through. Then they must realize there's something like way bigger, whatever, here. And then he probably tries to make her make contact, because then she escapes later.
Okay, so she stays and she's the only kid doing experiments for a little bit because she's the only one left, right? Looks like they're all they're all dead.
So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That kind of maybe because they don't quite know what happened with the whole one situation. There's still something that they're investigating, but yet, you know,
right. It could in theory even be later that day. Like if that happened first thing in the morning, they could make her do something else, and then she does it, and then later. It could even theoretically be the same day.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that looks like I think that was like sort of in the morning, and then that would make sense if it then, because the timeline is still just sort of the 1983. Because that's one thing they haven't explained is the whole like why is it, you know. Why is it tied up there, right?
Right.
Yeah, 11 is forced to... Yeah, so unknown date. So these are the things we see, right? So at some point in the 1980s, we don't know exactly when, 11 breaks a Coca-Cola can with her mind. 11 is forced to kill a cat, but she can't do it as she's about to get locked up. This is when she kills two guards with her powers. 11 is made to repeat words and a man in another room is saying and manages to broadcast them on speakers. So that's like stuff we see in like season one, right? Mm-hmm. When she's like being forced to remember stuff.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So Sunday, November 6th is the day that 11 goes on the mission. She makes contact with the Demogorgon, and a gate to the Upside Down unexpectedly opens in Hawkins' lab, allowing the monster to pass through. 11 escapes Hawkins National Laboratory. That could be the same day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has to be pretty close. I mean, just to kind of, you know, because I guess like the portal, the pushing one through could it has to happen.
That is that the big portal? That's what becomes the big portal. Remember, she closes at the end of season two.
Yeah, I think that's the big one. And we found out, you know, Vecna through different killings, different entry points. They on the other side were finding ways to kind of come through, finding weak spaces, right. You know?
Right.
So, yeah, because you even have at Will's house, he's trying to come through the wall there. The Demogorgon's coming through the wall. Like you said, the tree's there. So there's other portals, clearly. Vecna creates some in this season. But the big one was there with one. And, Yeah, then just a couple, either that same day or in the next couple of days, because he shows her the tunnel to escape. We actually figure out how she gets out, you know, how she
out,
which is cool. So he was kind of a part of that. I want to make a correction. I said it was like either 12 or 10. It's 8 is the character in the season 2 who shows up, who does all the weird stuff with like illusions and everything. But they were in the rainbow room together. And that was the situation in that season.
Right.
Where mom shows up and says Jane. But that was 8. So sorry, that's who that was. So yeah, just memories. It's like, God, how did 8 get away? You know, you're starting to think about all these different people who got away now.
Yeah, why wasn't she killed?
Yeah, why wasn't she killed if all those kids were I mean, we didn't see all of them, so we don't know. Maybe she was locked in her room.
And
right.
Right, because she also looks like she's way older, remember?
Mm-hmm.
She seemed like she was like pretty significant. She seemed like she was a teenager.
Yeah,
I mean, to me. Now again, it could just be the actress and everything, but to me, she looked like she was like 18, 19.
Yeah.
But you know, it could just be the actor playing it, and the character is supposed to be like 15 or 16 or you know something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The actress is 28 now. I'm looking at her right now. That's hilarious. But yeah, it's Okay, so we kind of have a better understanding of the timeline and the sequence of events, which is cool. Apparently, I mean, one's so much older. He's been there for a long time. And it, well, we had all of the
right.
Vecna backstory. So
Kali is sort of her, is Kali or Kali, K-A-L-I, I think is sort of her name.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's people on the Reddit questioning sort of like the timeline. So somebody's saying, I remember watching season 2, episode 7, where 11 meets Kali, which is 8, I think, right? The number?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 8.
He said, and she says, I remember the day I came to the Rainbow Room and you were gone. So when my powers were strong enough, I used them to escape. This makes it sound like 11 had escaped or was taken away from before when number 8 escaped. Mm-hmm. It also sounds like 11 would have been missing for a good period of time since 8 needed to wait for her powers to strengthen. However, we know from season 4 that Kali had left the lab before the massacre when 11 was just 8 years old and still developing her powers. Like, is this an inconsistency? Or, you know, was 11 taken away from the lab at some point when she was between 3 and 8 years old? And maybe this is when 8 escaped before she was brought back. Recognize? So, like, the timeline's a little.
Yeah. They've left themselves, though, enough wiggle room to kind of say you're not really sure what event occurred when, you know, like that whole Rainbow Room. We see them as little kids. She goes away. Did they just keep them separated? Like, was Brenner that kind of a control freak to where he was like, they're getting too close, or they're, you know, bonds being created? You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. That's what one kind of insinuated was, he wants control and don't trust anything he says, etc.
Right. It's also kind of weird. Like, it's so weird because, like, in season 1, it seems like Brenner's a total jerk. And then in season 2, it's like, oh, maybe Brenner's still alive. Then, like, this season, it seems like Brenner's actually not that bad of a guy. You know what I mean? Like,
I was going
to
ask
you. He seems like he's actually kind of nice to the kids and stuff. And it's like, what is going on, man? Like, is it just the way they want us to shift our mind around these characters?
Right. Is he a good guy? I was starting to think of freaking Jamie Lannister. You hate him in the beginning and you love him at the end. So, like, is he that type of character? Is he only doing this because he's a mad scientist who wants to continue his experiments, or is he really trying to help 11? Does he realize that he's lost his role, lost everything because he mismanaged stuff, and this is some redemption piece for him where he's going to help her get her powers back so then she can kind of correct all of these wrongs? I don't know. That's what, again, everything we're coming up in part 2, we're going to have to discuss, because I don't know if he's a good guy. I don't know. What's his name? The other scientist, I just blanked on his name. He is, and this is the problem when you binge watch stuff, good God, but he seems like a good guy. And the fact that I was like so trusting of him, the doctor, and then he sends L back to Dr. Brenner. So it's like, is he a good guy? I don't know.
Hold on. This wiki and some other people are saying that the dates add up to say when L creates the big rift is 1979.
And then they study it for some time, maybe, or and
so that makes a little more sense that she would be studying him, that they'd be studying her and probably just her since they've killed everyone.
Yeah.
For 1979 to 1983 is what, 4 years? So Henry gets banished to the Upside Down after, which is Vecna.
Yep.
Right. Henry Krill gets banished to the Upside Down after being overpowered by 11 in a telekinetic battle between them. So that, which is also the same. Oh, we don't know that that's the same year that what's her name dies. Hopper's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
See, yeah, because when does, you know, we get that flashback, too, of Hopper still in Chicago, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Hopper's in Chicago, and he has a run-in with 8. But I don't know that we have an exact...
Oh, yeah.
We don't have, like, sort of an exact date for that. But so... Okay, so then 1983, a few years later, is when L must... The day L leaves and everything, then that makes sense. Is 1983? Maybe time stopped for the Upside Down when they crossed through.
Yeah, because just the portal's created in 1979, which is what you're saying, what you're seeing there. Then 4 years later, they're studying it. She kept reaching through. That's when she comes across the Demogorgon, then, I'm guessing, right? So
right.
They're pushing her to her limit. Portal or whatever, that breach veil has been breached, and she can now kind of go in there and interact with things. So it almost makes you think that it wasn't the same place. Yeah, does time stop or something? Because one of right. the because Will vanishes in there and something it sort of broke some sort of continuum or something that was going on. That is what's kind of still strange about.
To me, it's the biggest mystery of the whole thing so far.
Yeah,
because all the other stuff is like characters running around doing stuff. Like, I mean, and we'll obviously get to all that. But yeah, nobody has it. So. These people are saying the time of the Upside Down used to function the same as the real world before, but the arrival of Will interfered with it. Hence, it's stuck in time, as if the Upside Down is an endless loop of that day. Will wasn't supposed to be there. He's no creature of the Upside Down, nor is he a being that belongs to it. Will is from the real world, and when he got lost in the Upside Down, he arrived there. His arrival there had an effect on how time works there.
Let's also not forget something really important, Matt. He is known as Will the Wise, a sorcerer.
Yes,
my friend.
Let's go.
So, yeah, wow, man. That's it, because it has to. So, you know, time stops, and it's now you're talking about time, and you're talking about
right. Now we've included time travel into this.
So yeah, so it is. It's a whole another level of interest, and it's a bigger sort of conversation right. now with more clues. You know, the clock was ticking the whole time, right? You remember Vecna?
Yes.
The clock was ticking, and it was like, hold on a second. I mean, it there's something they're doing with time more than just the date in Nancy's journal. It's like that time was clicking for a reason. Maybe he has other.
What powers. If time is what if time is clicking backwards? What if he is actually, so like maybe they get there and it's 1983 because, I don't know, you know, like something like maybe Vecna is able to actually reverse, you know what, let me look it up. Because maybe
going back in time to the point where maybe
the point where he was defeated by L. Maybe that's his whole end game is if I can go back in time, I can stop me from getting pushed through, and then I'd have world over the whole thing. So I'm going to look up Vecna, the Dungeons and Dragons description.
Oh,
because
my.
if you look them up, they tell you all the secrets, man.
Wow, man, that's you know, I'll tell you what it is. You're getting into cult stuff right here. So I want to go ahead and put a warning out there for folks that what Matt is about to partake in is devilish.
Okay.
A devil.
So here we go. So Vecna, the dungeons. Let me pull this up over here, right? So now technically they would have been using Vecna from the second edition of Dungeons and Dragons, because the newer editions obviously wouldn't exist then. So Vecna was once a human king, a lich that ascended to godhood. While he was once considered the most powerful lich to dwell on that world, he spent ages in underneath. Vecna became aligned across the multiverse and was considered the scourge of all civilization. Then he has flavor text, right? Evil is not an absence of good. It is not a choice. Evil is one of two forces in the cosmos, an agency locked in eternal struggle against its antithesis. Only good and evil exist. It kind of goes on here. So interesting. As a deity, Vecna did not claim a domain, but instead wandered the entire multiverse. You know, then they talk about some of those stuff. He's on a plane of ash near the border to the negative energy plane. He had wrestled away from the Doomguard. Let me go look that up. Because if you look it up, all of these characters are actually characters of Dungeons and Dragons, which is how they give them the names, right?
Yeah, for sure. So, and I'm looking
like up, the Demogorgon,
right? So, and I hope I'm saying it right, like a lich, right? So, a lich is an evil humanoid spellcaster who can become undead through the use of dark magic. Their ability, Their iconic ability is to cheat death by hiding their soul in an object known as a, I don't know how to pronounce it, whatever. Phylancer?
Yeah.
Phylancery?
It's, I would say, like, think of a lich almost like the Wraith in Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of similar.
Right.
Let's see. So the Divine Realm, right? So now I'm gonna start doing some dungeons on this, right? Later it became his prison, and at which, right, sounds quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
He had a citadel which Vecna used as his fortress, which he visited regularly to gloat on the despair of his defeated enemies. Later it became his prison as it was drawn into the domains of dread by the dark powers. He also kept a hidden black tower within the plane of Pandemonium. So it sounds like maybe that's where we're going.
We're on some different planes, and this is
pretty... we are on some different, but I'm telling you, man, this is what they do. They all sort of, right. They use Dungeons and Dragons as their inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Doomguard. Yeah, so that... Oh, I mean, who is that? The Doomguard was one of 15 official philosophical and political factions of the Outer Planes. Based on Sigil, their belief was that the decay and epitrophy of everything was not only inevitable, but a good thing. So this is sort of his arch nemesis. Well, it's, I don't know, it's a female thing. Might be L.
Might be L, man. She's Doomguard. Is L?
She might be the Doomguard.
She's guarding against Doom, my friend.
She is.
I think you just figured it out right there. Like, she is the equivalent of a Doom Guard. Wow.
This is where it's at. This is where it's at. Okay. I'm gonna be doing some research on the side here as well. You
Well, okay, let me talk just a little bit about so, like, I don't know. That to me, like Matt has mentioned, the timeline is a big takeaway. The nature of this Vecna character being a character that was, like, taken from our world into that world that has powers. Because I think about Will Byer, you know, it's all about the vanishing of Will Byer. And he gets totally just, like, no, he doesn't seem to matter. He's in the background. You know, he's a background character right now in this series. And I keep wondering if Will the Wise is going to have some sort of crazy comeback. I know he had the one season where he was, like, you know, the mind flayer.
Two.
Right.
Yeah, he was, like, possessed, yeah.
Yeah, because I keep thinking, like, okay, now that I saw one go there and he had this whole thing, was, like, the Demogorgon just holding on to Will to were they going to do something like that, turn him into some sort of thing, or is he just meat? Is he just, you know, something to whatever? I mean, does Will have powers? I don't know. So,
okay, so here we go. Here's some stuff, a little bit more about Vecna. Vecna possesses a number of tremendous powers, and this is obviously the Dungeons & Dragons character, Vecna, but it's what they're using as inspiration and everything.
Yeah.
Including the ability to paralyze others with his touch, inherently cast a variety of powerful spells, and alter reality at will. Sounds a lot like what he's doing.
Wow.
He is immune to the disease Disintegration, mind controlling powers, and a variety of other debilitating effects. His sensory perception extends far that of any mortal being. And then it goes into a little bit of, you know, sort of like Dungeons and Dragons, like math. Just interesting, you know.
Yeah, right.
I really like this picture here. Let me share this again. It was the fourth edition picture of Vecna. Oh, let me go back here. Let me get this pulled up.
Shit. Imagine how many DMs are freaking out right now that they know this. You know, like,
they probably know it all. They know the whole deal.
Yeah, they can theorize as to where it's going.
Yeah, see, let me type in a Demogorgon.
Yep.
And a Mind Flayer, you know? Here's a Demogorgon. Yeah. So you go back to, like, first and second edition, I mean...
Uh-huh.
Look at this ad here. You know, they obviously did it a little bit different. What about a Mind Flayer? I'm sure these are now, like, the most searched pages of this whole deal.
Oh yeah. I'm sure they are. Yeah, the Mind Flayer looks really different, doesn't he, from
Right. Now, remember, what's interesting is we haven't seen the Mind Flayer yet. And I know we did. We is the Mind Flayer totally defeated?
I don't think so. That's not I don't know. I think it was like you got it detached from. Because it's
Billy
the one, like
and
Billy
Will.
And
right.
Yeah. And it was sort of using all the people in Hawkins, all those deaths and stuff. It was going crazy. So,
right.
Yeah, I feel like it, because they mentioned like Demogorgon as being like a level one thing. And then Vecna's like your level 3-5 right. or whatever, being a little higher. And then you've got a Mind Flayer, which
I think the Mind Flayer, which is still a thing. Now, remember, we had the Demodog, right?
Yeah, we did have the Demodog. Oh,
so that
God.
Turns into a Demogorgon, right? I mean,
Right. Yeah, exactly. Deep in the Underdark. Yeah, so this is where I'm looking at the Mind Flayer again. Just their twisted layers deep in the Underdark. These alien entities sought to expand their domain over all life forms, controlling their minds to use them as obedient thralls. And that's what that bad boy was doing in season 2 and 3. Yeah. Wow. Man, there's so much lore on these things. It's like, what's biggest, baddest D&D villain?
Of all?
Yeah. What is the...
I don't know. I didn't play enough Dungeons & Dragons to really sort of know, you know, a lot of this.
Right. No. Yeah, this is... I don't know.
So now, while we're thinking about that, I want to talk sort of another thing that came up this season. And obviously we can talk about like characters and everything too, or maybe we come back and do a part two and we do all that stuff. Right now, it's just kind of like, all right, we got to focus a little bit more on sort of like the upside down side of this, the music being a part of this. Now, they didn't go back and address it, but remember, so like this season, they're like, all right, they're using the music to save people because it sort of serves as like a gateway to bring them back.
Yeah.
Like that they used with Max, right? And they're using with other people. Yes. So now I was kind of thinking about this and I was like, you know, if you go back to season one, remember they kept playing the song, Should I Stay or Should I Go Now? Right.
Yes.
From the Clash. That was like a big part of season one and two. Like they kept playing it to try and get, remember when they were going to bring Will back?
Yep.
So do you think that was like the plan all along from the writers and that's going to like come back to be a thing? Was that something that was possibly aiding Will back then? We just didn't sort of know it yet until it was brought up to be a thing now.
Right. Yeah. Cause I've wondered whether it's just them touching the electronics, because I want to get to the lights later on and how different the freaking lights are. Because it's like, if you touched any electronic, was it going off and doing stuff? Did Will turn? Cause Joyce would leave the room and that song would play. And it was sort of like this indicate one of his favorite songs. There's the recollection with he and his brother. They're like playing it. He loves it. So, yeah, it's sort of odd that maybe it was someone else turning that song on in another dimension, another timeline to help Will out. And we didn't know it. Now that time travel's involved, are they, you know what I mean?
I think like, so.
That's crazy.
Right. Yeah. Because remember, Will was using the lights.
Yeah, exactly. He's sort of touching those, animating them. They had a cool, they had freaking touchpad going, you know, this season. Right. Everything's upgraded, you know, which the light bright, which we all had, which is awesome. Right. Then they do stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know if because I'm like, well, what if they go over and touch like another electronic, like a radio? Would that just them walking by that in the upside down, does that turn something on? Because did you notice how the lights were very different? Why were the lights different than other things that might have had a current or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I'm wondering if that's something to do with the music, because I feel like maybe it's this thing where the upside down doesn't, like the upside down seems like a lot of these things just wouldn't exist there, because clearly it's this sort of like demonic parallel universe, but that's constantly being adapted through our universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, it's like, first of all, it's such a weird world in the first place, because even as like a parallel universe, because it's not like it exists like, you know, the way Marvel and everybody does parallel universes is like they exist on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a slightly different version because something happened, right? It'd be like, you know, for whatever reason, grass ended up being blue. Or
yeah,
what if, like, you know, you're going down a timeline and then JFK doesn't get shot and he survives. And then now you're going down what that timeline would have been.
Right.
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 So a lot of those feel like timeline different universes. This one is so weird because what we do here influences that world, but it's like this dark, demonic world ruled by like mind flayers and stuff. Like, how did that even get there?
Right. It's almost like they're on the underside of our world, pulling elements to help create and fabric, or I don't even know. Or
right. It's like, yeah, there's this dark thing. But then, like, how do the bats get created? And how do all these other things get created? And what do they live on? And, like, you know, right. Were there ever other beings there, like humanoid beings or something?
That's all, I guess, sort of the big mystery to it. Yeah, it's a weird demonic kind of dimension.
So I'm starting to think maybe that's why music works so well, because music is like music to the upside down is this completely different. It's all about like emotion, right? Mm-hmm. Music at the end of the day is all about emotion. And that seems like a very emotionless world, or at least if it's ruled by any emotion, it's like hate.
Yeah.
Whereas music, I mean, yes, some music you listen to sort of get you ramped up and whatever, but I would say the majority of music at the end of the day is to create a good feeling or a deep emotional feeling. Even if it's a sad song, you know, you still will sometimes listen to it and feel like good or whatever. And we use it regardless to sort of help us get over or through an emotion.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's going to be a big deal. Because remember in the trailer, they showed Eddie in the Upside Down playing guitar.
Oh, but did they really? I don't remember that.
It's in one of the trailers. So I think they're going to assault like the Upside Down or something
with music.
He's
going to shred to save the world.
Yeah. Do you think Eddie's going to die?
I do.
Somebody's dying.
I'm so sorry that he is. I'm so, so, so sorry that he is.
I think it's Steve.
I think, that would make me cry. But here's the thing. What they've done with Eddie is he's always running. He's always calling himself a coward. He's saying, he's like, I can't believe I ran. And he's like, Nancy jumped right in after you, man. I hesitated. Like, you're a cool dude. You're not a douchebag, you know? So it's like, I have a feeling that he is going to, there's going to be a point where everyone's running. No one knows what to do. And Eddie turns and has this moment where the music hits and he saves the freaking day. Just one dungeon master against
everything is like the final stand of Eddie. Oh, like going just,
gosh,
see,
dude.
I think they're gonna kill Steve, which is so unfortunate because I think Steve's gonna die saving Nancy, because Steve also had that conversation with Eddie about like being a hero, and I think Eddie will go into next season and sort of be our replacement for Steve, because I think as much Steve is like my favorite character. It's like Steve and Hopper are my 1A. Like I just can't go back and forth between them because I love them for both totally different reasons. You know, I mean, boom, this was my, I got him right here, man. Yeah. Absolutely. Season two. Absolutely love it. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like it's time. It's time for somebody to go to give us that big sort of emotional charge we need in the finale. Like somebody's got to go down. Somebody's got to be the Boromir
who's been there.
You know, even the Boromir dies in the first movie.
Yeah,
it's like he was with you for the whole journey, and now he goes down, and that like gives you that supercharge.
He's a member of the Fellowship. And he's been there since the start of the whole thing. Yeah, that would be, if it's Steve, I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry. I mean, I'll be upset for Eddie, but I'll also be like, that's such an emotional thing.
Who do you think? See, for a while, I actually thought they were going to kill Max because like she came in later. to the group. You know, she wasn't in season one and Billy's already gone. So it's like, I think just sort of like sometimes I think about like, okay, like which character's journey could end and have fulfilled some sort of arc or something. A lot of people are saying Dustin, but I just see no way. I think all of the kids are safe except for, I mean, Elle could die just because then it's like she was just this super awesome human being and everything. But if she dies, it's going to be the end of, she's going to like die, save it. Yeah, which would be the final season. Yeah.
So let me just say this. I think now that I thought about it, all the conversations between Steve and Dustin about how much they kind of like, they get on each other, they're at each other's throats, but they love each other. And like, and then Eddie saying, Dustin worships you, man. He like thinks you're like some god or whatever, right, dude. And it's like, okay, then Dustin's going to get in a situation where he's figured it out. He's the brains of the operation. He's figured this thing out. Right. He knows what to do. No one listened to him. He then tries to be a hero. And Steve's like, we don't see Steve, but Steve at some point feels this need to go help Dustin. Like, we don't see it for a while. He goes on this trek, right? And Dustin's there trying to do something epic. And we think we're going to lose Dustin, and it's Steve. you know what I mean? Like, that's 100% probably what's going to happen. You're spot on with that. Because, yeah, like, they've built that relationship. That matters. Like, we've seen a bond between those two more than we have almost anybody else. Like, I think their bond is cooler and more strong than, like, Mike and Elle. What the heck's going on there?
Right. You know? Like, to me, of all the characters that have been here since the beginning, I think the one that, like, is most expendable is Jonathan. Because he doesn't really like do much anymore. I mean, like, his relationship with Nancy is totally fizzled.
Yeah.
Will is already like now safe and everything's going on. He's kind of just like, he doesn't really have a future. Remember, he also has some like, the actor has some like off the field issues, right? You know, like, remember he got arrested or something for like drugs. Really? Remember that?
Yeah.
The actor who plays Jonathan. So I feel like if you're gonna just sort of kill somebody to make it expendable, Jonathan seems like, to me, the one that's most expendable. But I just don't really see them killing him, but I just don't really know.
It's like an emotional, you know, attachment.
Well,
like,
everyone would feel sad, and it would be a good emotional charge. It wouldn't be the same as somebody like Steve, but I'm just saying, if somebody has to go, Jonathan would be my pick, because at this point, like, he's just kind of there. He's not really serving like a bigger, you know, purpose anymore.
This whole season was so crazy, because you're talking about Jonathan, and I keep thinking of Argyle. You know, Argyle sounds like a D&D name, you know what I mean? It sounds like, and he's this guy who's smoking all this weed and everything, and it's crazy. I think
he's just a one season, hey, hang around, you know.
Right. Whatever. Yeah, that was
I great. Do I will say, for as many characters as they've had, it's, you know, it's a little unfortunate, but that we don't get more time with them, but now the cast is just too big. But I do feel like they're doing a good job of balancing it, because sometimes the cast gets so big and they try to like give you a flash of a character like every 5 minutes so you don't forget about them. Here they're just like, nope, we're just gonna run with this character for a little bit, and then we'll see you next time we need you. But I do feel like we're genuinely getting something cool out of each of these characters every time we see them, not just seeing them to like remind you who they are.
Honestly, me too, because even the new characters that come in, like, by bringing in an emotionally charged character, like, who's the lead basketball player who comes in and gives the speech? Like, that guy's killing it. I mean, that guy is an absolute, like, he's this cool basketball player or whatever, but he's on this religious quest to take out Eddie, and he's calling him, like,
he's our Russians this season from last season, and, like, who else was it in season three? It was, like, the mayor, right? Remember? Remember, you always have this sort of like outside force that you need. I think it's good. You always have this sort of human outside force that like exists, that's sort of like going against it. Like, Steve actually was kind of that in season one, because Steve was with Nancy, but like he wasn't yet part of like the underground know what's going on crew. Mm-hmm. He was this sort of like real life external pressure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Yeah, so that guy, I just looked him up real quick. That's Jason Carver. So
he's they're doing a great job with that.
Yeah, he's killing it. And I mean, the connection to the cheerleader, that whole story, because Lucas, I was thinking of Lucas and how his character is sort of torn between being a cool kid. He's there. Mike, with it's like, I don't know if it's spring break or what's going on or what the vacation is where they're he's allowed to go over and visit Elle. But yeah, Lucas is, you know, when like you were saying, when they cut to him, they do a great job. You, whenever you get to that story, you got it. The new characters all sort of work. Yeah. And we're feeling, cause they even had that one odd reporter who was killed, the other kid who was killed, right. That they brought in brand new and he was with Nancy and as long as they're with somebody else and they're kind of talking and by having a character that she can talk to who is killed, they then talk about what's going on with Jonathan, you know, and then you set the stage for that. So they're killing it in terms of passing it around and figuring out like, you know, so cause it was really good. Really well.
Yeah, it was really good. Also Murray, man.
Oh my, I love Murray. Like that, his acting's off the charts. By the way,
The guy who plays Murray, he's obviously, I don't know, remember his name, but he's a bigger actor. He's been in a bunch of movies and and stuff like that. He's in the movie. He's in that movie with Will Smith and Mark Wahlberg, where they're cops. Like The Rock is in it. Samuel Jackson's at the beginning. It's like it's a total comedy where they're like bad cops.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, but anyway, he's in that movie. And for he has like a little scene or whatever, and it's hilarious. But I mean, the whole deal where he's like, I know karate, and it's like, oh god, you know, like it's actually great that the way they did it, because it's one thing just to suddenly give somebody like a new skill or ability that was never determined before, and you're like, okay, they just did this because they like needed to get out of a situation. But the way in which they did it was hilarious because, like, it is inside Murray's character to have like taken like, you know, he seems like the kind of guy who would go to like karate and would be like all serious about it and think self-defense. It's like, and he's like, you know, then Joyce asks him, she's like, well, like, have you ever used it? He's like, well, you know, like how old were you? And he's like, well, you know, and like sort of then you set the stage that he's not going to be able to do it. And it's going to be a joke. Like, and then he actually does it and it makes it even more hilarious. Like that's a great way to write that like sequence of events.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it totally was. Cause I kept thinking like, when they're going on the rescue mission, I was like, okay, cool. This is everything that you thought was going to go to plan. Then it actually looks like it's lining up, right. They're figuring stuff out. And then nope, that's not going to happen. Like Hopper trying to escape, Joyce trying to get there. All those things just, they start, they stop, they don't work. Then they kind of whatever, but yeah, you're right with Murray. I mean, I was, cause he's always that like conspiracy theory guy, you know, telling her how to drop the porcelain doll to get the note out. The crazy. It's so crazy. And he fits that 80s timeline. You know, he fits that type of whatever Cold War era, like, you know, conspiracy stuff. And it does make sense that he would be fighting in there, you know, got the black belt and then has all those skills. Yeah.
So, okay. Let's just stick with Russia for a bit. So, we still don't know how Hopper ends up there. Remember there was like a post credit scene and then like some other stuff where they showed that he was there. Did they just, when the machine blows up, did they somebody from Russia must've just been still in that base, remember, underneath the mall and just taken Hopper with them?
Yeah. I don't remember if they showed that or not. But for sure, cause they did show Joyce looking at the spot where he's at and then they pan over and then he's just laying there. Right. That was what we saw.
Remember, because the machine blew up, we thought he died initially.
Right.
And then it was like, he was in Russia and like, remember everyone's theorizing like, wait, did it end up being like a portal? Did it end up being, you know, something? So we still don't know exactly how the Russian connection works. Then we know the Russians are clearly working on this, and I definitely don't know the actor's name, but we can just call him Jack and Hagar, who's the guard there with Hopper. Because that's totally it is. He's in Game of Thrones. He's Jack and Hagar, right? And then they have to fight a Demogorgon. So the Russians have a Demogorgon.
Right. Yep. Yeah, so... I don't know how it's just going to be, they were defeated, but still were kind of getting their stuff out of there. That's what my head assumes, is that they also found him, picked him up because they had the pictures of Joyce and they knew by image that that was Joyce. She's infiltrated us? Is she some American spy? You know, is she some big military person that we don't know about? I mean, they, again, all that, you have no idea who this, how this person wandered in here and is doing the stuff that she was doing, or why she's wearing the uniform. So in my head, I just sort of felt like it was, I don't know, that they just sort of, yeah, that they just picked him up and took him into captivity. So, cause they, cause she leaves quickly because they're on, aren't they on their way back in? Or something.
Aren't they on their way back in?
So in season three, at the end, she leaves in a hurry for some reason. Like, we got to get out of here, Joyce. Let's go.
It's
like,
gonna blow up. No, but it was gonna blow up, yeah. Right? And like the whole deal was Hopper had to go down there to like flip a switch or something, and then like they could only do it if like they were like right there. And so basically, Hopper had to go do it to blow this thing up.
It does blow up, and then that's the thing is like it blows up, and he's laying down there, so it actually already blows up. But well, but
they made it seem like he was gonna die, like because they're running away because the thing is blowing up, like the machine is blowing up. So basically what ends up happening is that Hopper just survives the explosion, but there's you don't believe that it's going to.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Because it's way underneath the mall. It was like the whole deal, but it was also like helping connect the mind flare, giving the mind flare a path forward. So that was like part of the whole deal, was that was what ended up doing it. Because remember, Elle lost her powers.
Yeah.
She overdid it.
Right. Yeah. So I have it. Oh, man, yeah, it's crazy because Joyce actually, after it's done, she like walks out there on the thing. And then Murray comes out and grabs her. The music, by the way, there wasn't really a moment in this.
Right.
We haven't heard that music hit yet in this season. I keep waiting for that to happen. Murray's like, "Where's Jim?" Yeah. Oh, right. it was our military that was rushing in there.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, our military was rushing in, and they're saying hands up. You know, don't shoot. We're Americans. How did they?
I don't know, but that's something that's going on this season. Is remember the U.S. military is going after L and
right,
like the Hawkins side of this whole thing.
Right, right, right. So that's weird that the Americans are in there. Russia somehow got him. That's not necessarily explained, is it? Because there's actually images of them walking around the burnt up machine. So he must have like immediately been grabbed by someone and hauled off to Russia.
Yeah.
I kept thinking he went through the...
I did too. I thought it was like some sort of... I thought the explosion happened and the only way out was through. So he like... So he tried to save himself by going through and then somehow it like bored a... But this is well before we... Now that theory wouldn't even work because now we know that the Upside Down is a complete total parallel like image. So he wouldn't have gone through Russia. He would have gone he would have been in the ground because there 3 years ago, there would have been nothing there.
Yeah. He's just on the other side because
it's deep. Remember, you're deep underground.
Right. Yeah.
So where would it have taken you?
That is actually weird too. That's a probably a small little thing, but remember in season one, when they're going through and on the other side, remember they send a military guys through and Dr. Brenner is watching them. They're on a cable. So it is weird that's a little inconsistency that doesn't quite like, where are they actually going to in this underground, right? That's the same portal, isn't it?
Yeah, but they would have gone, but I think they would have gone to, they would have been in Hawkins' lab.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, that he's either way, like he definitely would not have been transported to Russia. He would have just been either in the ground or on the other side of whatever that wall was,
right? You know? That wall was, but the Hawkins kind of makes sense because where the portal opens is like there's like more rooms behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, because there's like a glass room, so it would have been like that next room or whatever.
Yeah.
But so at least like you're still in the already built Hawkins lab.
Yeah.
So like in theory, there was like another hallway you could have gone down and whatever,
and been in the Upside Down of that hallway or whatever.
Of the Hawkins lab. Yeah. The portal under the mall, because it would have been 3 years ago, because the whole deal is this mall is brand new.
Right.
Well, then it would have been, remember, they're in a tunnel way underground.
Way under the thing. yeah,
that they have just built. So
that's true.
You would be, I don't know, however far, yeah, like 100 feet under the ground. You'd just be in dirt. Like,
yeah.
Unless there's tunnels, because remember the Demogorgons and the Demodogs were digging tunnels. Mm-hmm. So there could already be in theory, a ton of just established tunnels.
Right.
Unless remember that we see that in season two.
And I'm going to do something real conspiracy theory here, which is perfect for the time period we're talking about. Unless the Russians had technology or a better understanding of these portals and had connected them. You know what I mean? It's all that
right
suspicion going around. Jeez. Because, yeah, we I don't know how they could have got away from the Americans that quickly when we see him just laying there. It's like he got blasted over the edge and
right
or dove for it maybe last second. We just didn't see that.
Yeah,
because Joyce kind of puts her head down and clicks the thing, and
right. You know. Maybe they'll explain that later. Because Netflix is going to continue building the Stranger Things universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they've been saying that for years, and they have done books and stuff like that. But I think like the Duffer Brothers have said, like season five, we're done.
Okay.
With the show, which is good. Which I it's ready. Yeah. It's ready to end. It's getting way too big. Like Netflix can't even pay. Like, you know, other shows because they spent way too much money on all these other shows. Like, so you need to give this one big final budget and have it be your, you know, Sopranos, Game of Thrones show for years to come that everyone's going to go back and watch. Right.
Right. Right.
For years and years. Just end it on a great note. Give them whatever they ask for and get it done, especially because now all the actors are getting way too big. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Way too big to keep this. To keep thing going.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, and that's fine because then
especially, you know, Millie Bobby Brown. I mean, she's like,
oh yeah.
And Finn, what's his name? The guy who plays Mike, who man, Mike, it feels like we lose more and more of Mike every season. Like he's just like a background character, it feels like this year.
I know. When is he gonna he did, you know, it was a little bit weird because he and Will and Jonathan, they all just feel like they're in some they're relegated to Dustin's girlfriend, like,
which is great though. But that was hilarious. that whole thing was great. Do you think they're gonna end up? Do you think they're gonna all end up in Hawkins for the final two episodes?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. Because
how do we get everyone back so quickly?
Because
to fly from California, which is they're in Utah now.
They're in Salt Lake City, right? Or Utah, yeah.
Right. So they're somewhere in Utah, yeah. To fly from Utah to Indiana is like a 3-4 hour flight. It feels like every minute counts right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So because they have to get to, aren't they trying to get to where Elle's at, like with the location? Aren't they trying to?
They're trying to go get, because remember the one guard gave them, the guard that died, the super action, you know, agent man or whatever. Oh, right, whatever.
Yeah.
He gave them coordinates, I think, to where Elle is stationed. And I think she's out in the middle of the desert somewhere. She feels like she's probably in Nevada or California still. Yeah.
Because Mike went to the supercomputer we dialed into a computer. He's like, I'm going to go to Dustin's girlfriend. We're going to get an address or a printout of the coordinates.
Right.
They get that for the Nina thing. And then the other guys are on their way. Right. Remember one guard that doesn't make it gets tortured. He is going to, he's like, don't hurt her. Don't kill her. Whatever you do, don't kill her. So that military is now headed to take on Dr. Brenner and everybody.
And those guys.
So I think Mike's going to be heading there. Right.
Yeah.
That's the guy I was trying to think of his name.
Right. Owen. I think we're going to have a meetup over there because there's two episodes left in this season. And I think ultimately what's gonna happen at the end of this, my prediction sort of for the end of this season and the next two episodes is we all end up going back to Hawkins. We defeat Vecna, who is sort of your top tier general, right? He's your number one, your henchman, you know, your lackey, like whatever. Mm-hmm. He is the Harley Quinn to Joker. He is the... You know, I don't know, Taotsu to Super Shredder, you know, you know what I mean? He's not the final boss, but he's the guy you fight right before you fight the final boss.
Right. So we have to go, we have to go beat him, close up some of those other portals, all that kind of stuff. And then season 5 is the Mind Flayer, right? That's the big setup, I think, to finish off the Mind Flayer.
To finish off and totally destroy the Upside Down, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, to sort of seal everything.
But I think Russia is going to be a way bigger part of this whole thing in the next season.
Yeah, and also Hopper's got to come back and do this whole sort of in between where he's going to protect the kids, protect the townspeople, set things, because there's chaos. There is chaos in Hawkins right now. It's absolutely nuts. And then you have the government who's going to be following different factions, which, by the way, is probably accurate. There are different factions in our own government who are competing for funds and working for assets. They're moving back. They're all going to be coming to Hawkins. It's going to be a battleground. Battle of Hawkins.
Do you think they blow it up to where it's like normal people now know about like the Upside Down and stuff like that? Or do you think it's still going to be sort of a secret between all these different things? And so Mike's mom and dad and all those people still just are sort of living their like normal lives. And they're just like, we live in a really bad town.
They're getting to the point where it's close. It's too big not to. Yeah. Yeah. Because you've got now they've let Erica in on some of this stuff, right? They've got who's Lucas's
sister.
Yeah, and they're telling the story. The parents are all there. They're trying to figure this out. Mike's dad has no clue. He's wanting the FBI in there.
I think Mike's dad's still involved.
He's behind all of it.
I've been saying it for years, and I'm never, ever giving up on it. I think he's part of Hawkins or something. He knows way too much.
Dude, I actually think you're right, because he has the look, the glasses, and he's that classic traditional like American dad.
Right.
And I just feel like he is way connected. We don't know what his job is, I don't think. I feel like he's going to step into a laboratory somewhere and people are going to refer to him as Dr. Wheeler. And we're going to be like, wow, hold on a second. He works secretly at a lab and we had no idea this whole time. You know what I mean? Like, that's something that it's a theory that we've had for a long time. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. Let me pull this up and then we can, cause we're at about an hour here. We are probably going to have to come back and talk more Stranger Things even before season two. But I found this really good theory on Reddit. So shout out to this guy. So he says this is Sleeper Toyama Magata. Okay.
Okay.
On Reddit says in the Stranger Things subreddit, he says, here's my theory for how the Upside Down came to exist, as well as connections between Mind Flayer and Vecna. Buckle up, because it's a long one. Drawing on episode references and fan theories from this subreddit. Let's establish something. The Upside Down has always existed. It's a parallel universe. Within it lurks the Mind Flayer, a being of immense psychic power, a kind of Lovecraftian original evil. We don't have much evidence for this, but Dustin says it, and the writers have stated that they use Dustin to verbalize their thoughts on the Upside Down. This seems the most plausible explanation, unless the Upside Down is specifically a product of Eleven's mind. He says, which to me doesn't make sense, but a lot of people have that theory. I'll go into it later. The Mind Flayer is looking for a way through to another world, possibly any world. It manages this through making a psychic connection with the Creel Boy, right? Who later becomes number one, and finally Vecna. The Creel Boy's power may never be explained, but they could be the result of chemical warfare. We hear Hopper talking about the effects of Agent Orange or something to do with his mother. Regardless, the strangeness that the child can sense in this world is the Upside Down due to his latent powers connecting with the Mind Flayer. He is being controlled and coerced by the Mind Flayer. In this case, if this is the case, then the boy is attracted to the spiders, right? Which was kind of weird. That just sort of, to me, was almost like, hey, maybe this is a weird dude. Because they latently remind him of the Mind Flayer. He didn't create the Mind Flayer to look like the spiders. Like, you know, because the Mind Flayer does sort of look like a spider, which is a different interpretation than we already just saw when we looked at the Dungeons and Dragons characters.
Right. Right. Yeah.
With the Mind Flayer's help, the Creel Boy goes stronger and commits a grim succession of violent crimes. He is then taken to Brenner and to the lab after, you know, the murder of his family. There is possibly some connection with the Creel mother here. It is stated that she did bad things, but we don't see what. Perhaps Bart bargaining with Brenner, experimenting with drugs, or the occult, all of which could lead to her son's powers. Again, regardless of where his powers came from, the Creel boy, now number one, has a psyche mind so Brenner can understand telekinesis, but not so Brenner can form a connection with the Upside Down. Indeed, it appears that Brenner and his team are completely unaware of the other realm and simply attempting to harness the Creel Boy's psychic powers, which I 1000%, yes, I am on board with that. And I'm actually going to stop here real quick just because one thing I want to say is it is interesting his path to getting there as opposed to Elle's. Because remember, Elle, we know her mother signs up for some sort of study and is given all these drugs, and then like her mind gets like zapped into oblivion.
Right.
So like almost like Elle was like created.
Yeah. Yep. Very different.
Not so much like him, who just naturally sort of displayed some of these things, but they could have come from somewhere.
And so this theorist is saying that the mind flare is had sort of already psychically given him some powers.
Somehow the mind flare was actually already was beginning to connect with what Henry Creel, the son.
Yeah, the son.
Who becomes number one Vecna.
Okay.
So he says, in time, other psychic children are weaponized to develop psychic powers just like number one. Through these children, we see further evidence of the Upside Down's possibility existing outside of 11. On a simple level, the very fact that these powers exist suggests that the Upside Down also probably exists outside of 11, as they seem to be part of a parcel of the same package. Much like characters can turn lights on from the Upside Down, I wonder if these children's psychic powers come from their ability to manipulate events in the Upside Down, therefore affecting our world. This is why light and dark are so important to Brenner's tests later on, such as the Wheel of Light in the immersion chamber. More specifically, powers such as Kali, or number 8, also seems to be referenced in the upside to the Upside Down spider's mind flare, with Kali making a very similar spider to Vecna's appear on her punk friend in order to scare him. I didn't even think of that.
Wow, that's really sick. That's
There's cool. a sick connection.
Yeah, more of them connected to the mind flare than we maybe thought. Yeah.
Nevertheless, none of these other children are as powerful as one except 11. Perhaps 11 has more latent connection to her power naturally, just like one. This accidentally causes her to psychically link to within the Upside Down, although this link is an accidental byproduct of the experiments, not a deliberate and meaningful result. Years later, 11 and 1 fight. During the struggle, either 11 banishes 1 to the Upside Down or 1 flees to the Upside Down and becomes Vecna in the process. This strengthens the bond between the Upside Down and our world, specifically tethering it to Hawkins and creating the Red Realm, the broken and fractured version of Hawkins we see at the Creel House, which is significantly different than the rest of the Upside Down. That is interesting too, because it is red there. Now, we did see some like red flashes a few times, I think in season 2.
Yeah, and I think what you have
all of season 1, there was it was all like dark blue and black.
Yeah, like a misty sort of I felt like underground haze fall of particle dust. Yeah, ash, right? The realm of ash is something that's referenced in D&D, and this is sort of a red.
Yeah, because the picture we even have as our background on the video we're filming, that all of that promotional material was like season 2. There was never any red in season 1.
Yeah, that's interesting. Huh.
Gonna have to go back and look at that too. Okay, Vecna is yet unable to return. However, he meets the mind flare in the Upside Down. Someone here put it in the Reddit thread, said it perfectly, that the mind flare is the web and Vecna is the spider. Except the web already existed. It just needed a soldier to live in it and help it expand it, right? Dustin calls Vecna a general, which could be a red herring, but it could also be evidence. When we see the vines running into Vecna, this is connecting him with the mind flare and the organic life of the Upside Down. Either the demogorgons, dogs, bats already exist within this organic life, or Vecna helps create them. Through experimenting like Walter and Alien Covenant. I have no idea because I haven't seen any of the Alien movies. I'm more led to believe that they already exist for two reasons. Firstly, when one is struck by lightning, his skin becomes reminiscent of the animals in the Upside Down, suggesting they have already been there. Secondly, when characters such as Barb come through to the Upside Down, they don't turn into Demogorgons, Rather, they become dead totems on trees, which is interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
11 accidentally reopens the gate. Remember when 11 initially sees the Demogorgon, it's in the black space of her mind when she is searching for something else. The experiment therefore incurs an accidental breach between the worlds. At this point, Vecna is able to move through again. I believe it is Vecna who takes Will to the Upside Down, which is why Will doesn't die, even though he spends much time there. He isn't eaten because he is protected by Vecna and the Mind Flayer. So why Will? Although we don't know the exact reasons, we know Will is crucial. He is referenced to Will the Wise and Will the Broken at different points. The Dungeons & Dragons language is specifically used by the Duffers to conceptualize the Upside Down. So these terms are likely important. Will also possesses, I know I was literally about to go type in, like, while also many of the qualities needed to link our world with the Upside Down, he is deeply sensitive and seems to hold trauma from his past, from his childhood, making him an easy target for the Mind Flayer and Vecna. Perhaps the Mind Flayer and Vecna deliberately allowed him to return to the normal world to strengthen the link, using his mind and body to allow the Mind Flayer to break through. If you look at Will's paintings from the latest season, it seems to hold some kind of Upside Down reference in its colors, meaning it could be a virtual clue to his connection. We didn't see his painting, did we? We must have. Remember, no. He said he had a painting for Mike. I don't remember him showing it.
Oh my, you know, he hasn't showed anybody anything. What's up with the painting?
But remember, he was doing all the scribbling and stuff in season two. Remember, Bob, you know, mapped it all out.
Right.
Pour one out for Bob.
Jeez.
And Enzo. God. Oh, he just wanted the slushy, man.
The painting will be huge. I think that's a big. I'm glad that was brought up because I forgot that he had that the whole time.
So much. Equally, the main part of the Upside Down is frozen on the date of Will's disappearance, suggesting that he remains the tether between the Upside Down and Hawkins, and he is kind of a portal in himself. Due to his stronger connection to the real world, Will's version of the Upside Down is more stable than Vecna's. Within the house's dark versions of Hawkins, rather than the broken and scorched Creel House of the Red Realm, that Vecna seems to inhabit. The Mind Flayer makes it through to Hawkins via Will and later on the townspeople. These occurrences show the Mind Flayer is becoming stronger and has the potential to take over Hawkins. Now questions arise. Where is Vecna during all of this? It's my belief that the Mind Flayer and Vecna are separate entities working together, but with Vecna initially differential to the Mind Flayer. Perhaps at this point, Vecna is not strong enough to constantly move between worlds, or perhaps he believes the Mind Flayer can do it alone. Ultimately, however, the Mind Flayer is defeated twice and retreats to the Upside Down. So getting into sort of the main points, too long didn't read here. The Mind Flayer realizes it needs Vecna to break through, or alternatively, the opening and closing of the gates makes Vecna stronger and gives him ideas of his own. Now Vecna is able to return and show and slowly strengthen as a means of eventually destroying the real world. There are many possibilities at this point. One, the Mind Flayer could need to rely on Vecna as a stronger connection between the worlds than the rats, you know, flayed flesh entity it creates, and is therefore continuing to manipulate and coerce Vecna as he did the Creel boy, who is Vecna. Vecna could no longer need the Mind Flayer due to his increased strength and is therefore vying for power against the Mind Flayer in the Upside Down and trying to assert dominance over both worlds. Or three, the Mind Flayer and Vecna have worked to increase their assault in the real world, changing tactics to break through.
Wow, that's really good. That's really well, you know, it's because it goes over all the ideas of, like, you know, when you come into the world, like what is the world and what is the objectives of the Mind Flayer, and, you know, whether, you know, people, animals, creatures, whatever they are, like who created them, all that kind of stuff is very interesting. And then, you know, Will being the connection, being the first one, being the one who was pulled in first, right? The disappearance of Will Byer is this whole thing. It's the first episode. It's everything. So it makes me, and he's Will the Wise. It does make me wonder if he'll have to be, even though we got him, he was like, you know, we sacrificed a lot of stuff to go get him and everything, but as we understand stuff, maybe something needs to happen with him to sever this connection to this world, you know,
right?
Whether he's lost or whatever it might be, because I think, you know, it would be cool to see Will, I guess, if you're writing a story, right, and he sees all of his characters make sacrifices, come in, help him, save him. His mom did all these different things, but he's realizing these things are not going over. Hopper says it's not over. I can't believe it's not done yet, right? I thought we had this thing defeated. But if Will knows that he's somehow the he, remember when they did the between the two portals, and they were talking about the physics, and they Dustin tossed that the sheets or whatever, and the way that they get kind of held or whatever, it feels like Will is an anchor or a rope on this side that maybe is keeping stuff open. I don't know. Or, you know, I know that we got him back on this side and he went over there, but I feel like there's something that's, because that was the whole point with season like 2 and 3 or whatever, was that he somehow had been still infected and was still having psychological stuff happening, right? Psychic stuff happening to him. I know that that's supposed to be gone, but this theorist is sort of proposing that, like, there's some, I don't know, maybe it's one. Maybe it's the fact that one was born in this world and is now in that world and has some sort of back and forth. You know, how do you totally sever the connection and beat the upside down? How do you seal it away and make sure it goes away for this 5-season arc? You know, because I know they're going to expand the world and everything, but I don't know. That's kind of my thought. My big thought there is like, does it have to do with Will? And is it like Elle is doing all these things that she's doing, but it's going to be some sacrifice or something?
Are we entirely sure that, are we entirely sure that Vecna is in the same upside down as like the Mind Flayer? Why is it different? And has Vecna been in more control for more time than we think? And why has the Mind Flayer never moved against Vecna? Because he seems like he is not the kind of person to work.
Force someone else. Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah. Cause I don't really believe for a second that he was actually ever going to, like, he and Elle were going to escape together. He definitely would have killed her at some point.
Yeah. Or used her, controlled her in some way.
Yeah, like once he killed everyone there, I felt like he was going to take her out.
Yeah.
Like just waiting for the right moment.
I don't think it might not have been.
Because once he gets outside the lab, he no longer needs her.
He wouldn't want anyone to oppose him either. You know what I mean? So at some point, either she's going to join you, be with you, be like your little sister or whatever. And if that's not the case, then she's out. I mean, yeah, I kind of think the same thing. I did feel like he was gonna help her get out and keep her for a while, but to use her in some way or whatever.
See, Nancy goes into the upside down via a portal. Remember, that's like the one in the tree.
Yep. Yeah, we don't, yeah, because what Vecna, his victim,
Hopper and Joyce go in,
yep,
to go get Will.
And that was already formed. That one was already formed. But the one in the tree is odd because that was just a spot that they found in Mirkwood, right? In Mirkwood, all of the, you know, where is this Demogorgon coming through? So how that one got formed, we don't really know. Vecna's, we understand. Vecna is attacking people and wherever they were killed in this episode, boom. We have a portal, you know?
But he's killing people. Vecna is killing people from the upside down. In our world, he is pulling people like sort of into the upside down via their mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like Will makes sense because Will in season 2, when Will, remember at the end of season 1, once they bring Will back, he's got like the slug in him.
Uh-huh.
Remember he spits the slug out.
Yeah. Yep.
So then it was like, okay, so like there's like an organic connection that was still inside Will. It's like we saw like a physical thing.
That's
Vecna's
true.
Is different because Vecna is able to reach through, but I guess Elle is able to reach into the upside down.
Right. Yeah. You know, what's also different about Will in season one is like where he went in. Like we're talking about portals and stuff. It was in that shed up supposedly where the light, you know, the attack happens with the Demogorgon, and Hopper looks at what would have been maybe a little, because the portals kind of closed. Those were ones that were like opening and closing.
Right.
Which is different too. And I don't know if they're going to explain all that technicality or not, but.
Right. Because the Demogorgon didn't, the Demogorgon did not pull Will through. He got in and then he was hiding.
Yep.
In there, away from everything else. And he was able to hide.
Yeah. How did he hide from everything? How did he get in there? How does Will get in to the Upside Down?
A portal must have opened and closed.
Right. And he sneaks in. Or it's like the Demogorgon was walking out of a portal of some kind, just like the tree. Let's say that, and all of a sudden you see that and the Demogorgon turns and you jump through it and get back in there and run and hide. That could be a possibility because he was definitely hiding from it.
Right.
And then at one point he's seemingly taken. Right. And when they get in there, he's like, you know, kind of all strapped up on the.
Yeah. So in season two, remember, there's all these tunnels. Like, remember, that's when they're tunneling inside our world.
Yeah. Right. Through the ground. Yeah.
And then El shuts the gate and it kills all of them because now they've lost their connection.
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever. And then in season three, the connection is reopened when the Russians are boring in under the mall. Now they've opened a new gate that has given the Mind Flayer an ability to come back out.
Yeah.
And then there, how does Billy? Oh, Billy gets infected.
Right.
Billy gets actually drugged by like roots or I think the Mind Flayer or something. So Billy is actually affected and has a neural link with the Mind Flayer.
Right. Yeah, because just the understanding of the portals is really interesting. I just keep thinking, you know, there's more of that needs to be explained. Because is there an open portal right now besides the one, like Watergate is there? All the killings have portals. Those all need closed.
I think there's a lot of portals open right now.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. So yeah, interesting. Like the other ones were more like offshoots and physically sort of bored into. Right. These are all mentally whatever created. Yeah. So
what it's so the wiki is saying that so there are portals that a portal will sort of heal itself. It may open and then heal itself because in season one. Remember, Joy starts tearing apart the wall because she can see Will.
Yeah, yeah.
But she couldn't reach through it. She could not reach through the portal and get him and pull him out.
Right.
And that's when she like starts tearing through the physical wall here.
Right. Yep.
So these portals must just. So with Vecna and L doing what they did, they probably actually fractured the whole freaking thing.
Yep.
The whole like just normal dimensionary plane is now like weakened and like it'll start to rift at certain points of time. Or these portals must have always existed. And it wasn't until somebody came along with a strong psych thing like number one, probably through some sort of chemical, like, because that would make sense as to know why nobody else ever was able to do it over the millions of years. So he is the first through however it's done, psychedelic drugs or something, you know, that caused it. And there happens to be a portal that opens at his house and or around his area, and then the Mind Flayer is able to must be able to sort of like push through a little bit.
Yeah, the other thing too is they're hijacking like frequencies and stuff too. All that stuff is happening mentally and stuff, and they're in touch with something before a portal or whatever opens. They're connecting, you know, with another dimension almost, right? Isn't L kind of doing that in season one when the Demogorgon, right? She accidentally, you know, catches it. So I imagine too that one maybe in his younger years was doing some weird stuff, you know, or the Mind Flayer is connecting with him because he had the potential, you know, just because, like you said, the chemical warfare or the whatever it might have been that causes him to have these abilities. gives the Mind Flayer a voice or a connection on the other side. And then it starts to kind of like play with that, figure it out, you know? So.
Yeah. Cause so the Demogorgon comes through. Right. Jonathan and Nancy are searching in Mirkwood. They came across a wounded deer. They were about to perform a mercy kill on it. It's suddenly pulled away by an unseen force. Following the trail of blood, Nancy discovered an open portal at the base of the tree. Entering the portal, she found herself in another dimension where she witnessed the creature feeding on the deer. While the Demogorgon was alerted for her presence, she ran away, screaming for Jonathan's help. Following the sound of her voice, Jonathan found the portal and quickly pulled her out. The portal closed immediately.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I know it's hard to think back to season one because like that season's like so different than the than the rest. Like, oh wait, hold on a second. Exactly how did that work? Yeah.
Right. And they may not have the whole, you know, the mechanics figured out the way they wanted them to, right? Because I think that was a shock. Season one's a freaking shocker. Shock the world.
Because Barb sort of came through.
Right. You know. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting. Yeah, and she did right there in the pool. Or right there.
Right. She was in the upside down of the pool.
Right, right. Oh man. I love it. I'll tell you that it's much. So I love all
I'm ready
this
for part. I'm ready for part two.
Because yeah, when you're getting these answers, they've really done a good job of like giving us a little bit here, a little bit there, telling a good story, good emotional connections to characters, like a backstory with Hopper and his daughter, and then Elle was telling that story. We can do a part two to this because we probably have to, because Elle's telling that freaking story where she's getting bullied, and I wanted to cry.
Right.
Millie Bobby Brown is killing it, by the way, as an actress. Oh, I was like, good for her. That was phenomenal.
They could come back. Like that's the sick thing about this is that you have people who are really young. Like you could come back and do more Stranger Things
years from
like
now,
like 10 years from now, or they have kids. And then
this should be Netflix. Like, you know, we talk about Marvel having its thing.
This should be Netflix's big. I mean, Netflix has had big shows, but they have yet to have until Stranger Things. And I think The Witcher will also be a big pillar for them too. But yeah, they've yet to really have that sort of like a DC level franchise, a Harry Potter level franchise.
Right. Right. If they can keep it up and they can get a good season five, that's awesome and stuff. And then they start to do, like you said, they have actors who to legitimize another series, maybe they, you know, Dustin shows up for an episode or whatever and drops some information on him. And then he's like, I gotta go. It's not my fight. You know what I mean? Type of thing. And then years later, 20 years later, the fight's back on. Elle's back. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, that's the kind of stuff that would be cool when you think about the streaming wars and where you want to go with this.
Yeah. You know, here's the interesting thing. I'm looking here, 'cause I was like, what else have these guys done? Not a lot. They did a bunch of short films. And then since 2016, the only thing they worked on is Stranger Things.
Well, let me tell you something too. We mentioned this in season one, season two and season three. Like Matt, they do, or especially season three, the lighting and the way they do like
cinematography and everything.
Cinematography and nostalgia, the connections to nostalgia. Of course, it's just the setting of this series, but it's genius. It's perfect. They've got the Running Up the Hill song is like number one on the charts right now because of these guys. Right. Like back on, it's crazy. It's just, it's such a huge thing, and I'm so pumped that it is.
Yeah. Well, I think this just goes to show you that sometimes, I mean, here's the thing: is I'm sure Netflix is paying them massive money, but you know, all these actors. I think it's different for an actor because it's so much easier to jump between roles, but writers and directors and stuff like that, who these guys are writing, directing, and executive producers.
Yeah.
When it's the only thing you're working on, it just gives that much more time to make it something special. Because Stranger Things, to me, is on pace to be like a top 10 show ever.
Yep. Yeah.
No, it's amazing. I mean, it should be viewed in terms of like some of the best sort of like drama, you know, comedy shows. You know, it's hard to compare it to like sitcoms and stuff like that, but I mean, Stranger Things should sit right there with, in terms of history, as like Sopranos, Game of Thrones. I mean, it is right there.
Yeah, it deserves to be there. And what you're saying too is that like these guys haven't done much, but they've been fully dedicated to a project and they have had time to think
one thing.
Everything is thought through. I mean, there are connections. There are like, it just makes sense and it works and it hits the heartstrings. You know, it's scary, but it's also like super makes you laugh, makes you cry. It hits all the different emotions, man. So they're killing it. And again, they're super talented guys. So I don't want to just say, oh, anybody could go in there and you know, do their one thing and it would just be awesome. No, but I'm glad they've taken time to really keep pushing this and keep making this their thing, make this a great product. And then, yeah, they're going to go out and do other stuff and be maybe in advisory roles for the rest of it going forward. But you got to expand. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons, like, look at Top Gun Maverick, right? And now then this movie's been done. That movie's been done for a long time. But Tom Cruise had not. It's like he did Mission Impossible in 2018, then 2022 Top Gun Maverick. So like you think about how much time they were working on that thing.
Yeah.
And it shows. I mean, sometimes it's like these budgets and stuff and, you know, deadlines and all these stuff. It's like sometimes it's fine. Delay something. Push it back. Like take the time to make it good.
Right. Exactly.
And you get Stranger Things season 4, which is like a 10 out of 10. And there's more to go. We're not even done yet.
I know. Because I was saying, like I said earlier, there's going to be a moment where they're going to play the music. They're going to play the music and it's going to hit. And we're going to be like, oh, my God, someone's dying. And it's going to be sad and awesome at the same time.
I think it's Steve.
I know. I hate this. Let's
make our predictions.
Well, OK, so you're saying, Steve, you just can't kill one of the original four. So Lucas, Will, Justin, Mike. It's not gonna be L. We've already done the Hopper thing. Joyce is the mom, team mom. So it's either gonna be, if it's not Steve, it's gonna be, like you said, Jonathan, Eddie,
Nancy,
maybe Nancy. Oh my gosh, dude,
maybe Robin. I don't know that you kill Robin yet.
Yeah, I don't know about Robin. What's the Murray? I don't know if maybe Murray has a moment leading Joyce and Hopper out. Does he die and he was a part of this rescue mission?
See, I think you could kill one of the kids, but to me I feel like the one, I don't know, I wonder about who you'd kill. Like I don't think you could kill Mike because of like his relationship with Elle would just be too hard to, like, how do you fix that and make that like a big contention point in the following season. Now somebody could get drugged to the Upside Down and become like a villain or something. You could go that route.
Right.
Like we may end this season like some people are stuck in the Upside Down.
Yeah.
But I just don't think we can have Elle like lose her powers again.
No. Mm-mm. She's the superhero. She's back. And then there's a bigger fight coming. Right. Yeah. That's the way it's going to be set up. And then maybe somebody does lose. I mean, I hate to say it might be Steve, but it might be Steve, you know? That's because he's been strong for 4 seasons, and this would be the one where he goes out and he's like,
I know,
the ultimate babysitter.
Gosh dang. All right. Well, guys, stay tuned. Whoa. Ez and I will, my whole thing came off there. Ez and I will be back. You know, hey, look, there's a rift in the universe here. So Ez and I will be back with part 2. Stay tuned for that. And man, I gotta fix my microphone here. Came up.
You might want to. I felt like you got attacked by a Demogorgon.
What's going on, man? So awesome. All right, guys. Well, stay tuned for all that. We will be back with more. And as always, thanks for listening.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.